The bottleneck that's happening with lamb right now, I don't think is related. They're certainly happening, and the market is being severely impacted, severely impacted. This is the time of year when, you know, if COVID happened 3 months prior, it wouldn't have impacted us the way it is. But this is the time of year in California where all the lambs are ready to go to market. Yeah. And at the same time, all the restaurant business has died. And that really has been the killer. That's been the killer, as opposed to the bottleneck in processing, I think.
That's Andre Sorries. And Andre has just got done telling me about all the good things that the sheep industry are doing right now, especially in helping fire protection at a time that we have threats to the environment related to climate change coming up. And fires are one way we see that. And then we're dealing with COVID. And as you just mentioned, COVID's having an impact because the lamb industry depends so much on the restaurant industry. As the restaurant industry shut down and it's just starting to get back up on its feet again, that's been a tremendous impact. But then there are other issues too. And so even though we can talk about the bright spots of increased demand for lamb and increased appreciation for what grazing is doing to help with fire protection, there's existential threats to the industry. Regulations and regulations that impact labor. They're dependent on getting sheep herders in from other areas. And those programs have worked really, really well. But in California, there are some rules that are going to go into effect that will increase the labor cost over the next couple of years, much more than might be fair. And it's kind of a unique situation. And it's important to point it out because, as Andre explains to me, this is the other side of the coin. It's not just positive good news on other issues that are we're showing progress. But in this particular case, it would do away with the sheep industry in a couple of years unless they find a solution. So she's going to share that issue with us. So, Andre, welcome back to Farm to Table Talk. And I'd like you to explain what this concern is and how it might impact the sheep industry, even to the point that it'll be hard to have a sheep industry in California if it's not addressed.
This fire we're in right now with COVID-19 and the processing animals and I mean, there's a lot of people in California raising sheep who have nowhere to go with their animals, and this is the time they need to, not only is the time when the market would have been good for them, but now they have to face how they're going to be able to feed those animals through what's looking like a tough summer. So there's this fire we're in right now, and then there's this fire that we're running into, and that is labor issue. The majority of all sheep labor in California, and all the western states across the nation, are H-2A sheep herders. And H-2A sheep herders that's been a program that's been effective since the 50s. It's been very successful. We've been bringing legally skilled laborers over from originally Spain and France and the Pyrenees Mountains in the 50s and 60s, to now that labor force has shifted, resource has shifted to Peru, Chile, Mexico, primarily Peru. And it's just been extremely successful. The herders become like family to us. And I've got about 9 employees from Peru, and they come on three-year contracts, and then they have to go back to Peru for a touchback before they're eligible for interview to come back. But an issue with that H-2A program has been highly regulated at the federal level. Which is fine, and it's been good. But the state of California, we passed AB 1066 a couple of years ago, and during the rulemaking process of implementing AB 1066, AB 1066 was the ag overtime bill. Well, in the rulemaking process to interpret that, sheep herders were swept in and for all these years had been exempt because of the unique nature of the role.
Sure.
They had been exempt from overtime. In fact, they're on a monthly salary, not hourly, for that reason, because it's a unique nature of they're often working remote. It's difficult to verify hours worked, all those kinds of things. Well, the ag overtime, the implementation of AB 1066 went into effect on January 1 of this year for large employers, 26 or more employees, which is not many in California. I think there's only one or two. But smaller employees have until January of 22 before that impacts them. But when that hits in January of 22, we will see a 51% wage increase on January 1st. 51%. Our labor costs are going to increase by 51% in what is already a very narrow margin business. And so while before COVID-19, that felt like the nail in the coffin, perspectives have changed. We have to, we've been working very hard through our industry association, California Rural Growers Association, and we've gotten a lot of buy-in from legislators, and we have made some progress, but it's a fight we're in, and we're not going to give up. We're probably going to go out trying, but we're not going to give up because the industry will not survive, Roger. It will not survive a 51%. No business that I know of could survive a 51% wage increase. Mandated.
But it's primarily, it's not necessarily the minimum wage that we talk about going up. No. It's the overtime, which has always been an issue in agriculture because having grown up on a farm too, I just know their seasons, their days you have to put in, 12, 14 hours or something like that. And then there's days you're not working as hard or you can kind of slow down a little bit. And as you're saying that, I was thinking about herders that have to go out and be living out there with the sheep around the clock. Mm-hmm. And what if we applied the same thing to all of us that are working from home offices because we got a laptop
right
in our office and say, well, so-and-so, they're all working at home right now. I know everybody's working at home. And they can say, well, you got to pay them because they've got that laptop. And
they're at their place of work.
Yeah. And so, maybe I'm reaching, but anyway, it's good to give that heads up. The H-2A program itself, is it still in good shape that it's going to function?
Yeah, the H-2A program is, it has worked really well for the sheep herder industry. I mean, the sheep industry, sheep and goat industry. Most of it is done through joint employment. Or another entity working as an agent, and the joint employer or the agent really acts. They take care of all of the legal aspects, the acquisition of the visas, the interview process, the passport, the applications for all the travel. So it's really set up so that we're very, very compliant with the law. We're highly regulated, audited often, but I think that's one of the reasons it's been successful too. There's a lot of things we could complain about that, but I think in part that's led to a lot of the success of the program also. I don't want to go back to, tying in the benefits of grazing to the risk of losing the grazing. Right now there's about 550,000 sheep in the state of California. State of California is the number one wool producer in the country and the number two lamb meat producer in the country. So we have about 550,000 head of sheep, goats, I'm guessing. I don't know the number of goats. That data is less readily available, but let's just say let's not even count the goats for this purpose, what I'm going to tell you. Just the sheep right now alone annually remove 500,000 tons of vegetative matter annually. Let me say that again. The sheep in California today annually remove 500,000 tons of vegetation every year. Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, that vegetation is not planted for that purpose. That's vegetation that is repurposed. It would either be fire fuel or it would be disked under with fossil fuels. Or it would be treated with chemicals and herbicides. Mm-hmm. So now imagine we kill the industry by increasing wages by 51%. The sheep eventually leave the state. eventually lead the state. That's how much vegetation, in addition to what we aspire to gain control of, we will have lost the ability to graze 500,000 tons because we've driven the industry out of the state while our state has been on fire.
Yeah.
So that's a real, it's one of those things, Roger, that, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Right.
And we don't realize it, like I mentioned, I see the shift and I see the shift, people recognizing the benefits of livestock on the land, not just fire. It's not just fire. That's what I'm talking about. But it enriches the soils. It sequesters carbon. All of that, all of the mechanics that happen by putting ruminants on the ground is beneficial for the landscapes, and not just, and including fire. And when that's gone, that's, you know, that's going to be a huge problem. That's going to be a huge problem. And our generation ahead of us will wonder what the heck happened to all the sheep and goats in the state. And back to the California Ag Overtime, the intent, well, what Ag Overtime did to most of ag is provide about a 6% wage increase, if I'm not mistaken. What it did to sheep herders is a 51% increase. So we really believe it was an unintended, unvetted consequence of the way that bill was processed. We really believe it was unintended. I don't think the legislators would have given all of ag a 51%, any industry, a 51% wage increase and expected them to survive.
So I would imagine that this is an issue in what, maybe 8 states, the primarily.
Yeah, it's 8 or 9. Yeah. Yeah. Right around there, Roger.
But somebody listening to this doesn't raise sheep currently. You're going to discourage them from getting into the business unless they get it fixed for sure. But they, but if they want to help, I mean, do they, are these bills that are in the assembly and the very state level laws that somebody can write or talk to their own assemblymen or senators about?
Well, the horse is out of the barn, but it's not. So the bill has been passed. It's right. Just delaying implementation for small employers until January of 22. So the legislation has occurred. So we either need new legislation. Now, we've been down this road. We've been in this battle for a year now. We became aware of it in January of 2019. So we either need a legislative fix or an administrative fix. We had worked for a long time for a legislative fix. The climate in Sacramento is not such that there is the political willingness, enough of it, to go against the author of this bill. So that's a problem. We did work on that for quite some time. Prior to COVID, we had met with a representative from the governor's office, and we really were looking for an administrative fix, working through the Department of Industrial Relations, who wrote the rule that implemented AB 1066, and we're really working with them, with the DIR, saying, hey, the federal government runs this H2A sheep herder program. They've designed it. They've done it for years. They regulate it. They determine the salary, and they have for a long time. And it is a monthly minimum salary. However, in the language, they also describe a work week as 48 hours, but they are not paid by the hour. They are paid the monthly minimum salary, but they describe a 48-hour work week for sheep herders at the federal level. Mm-hmm. We're asking, the state of California, however, has said, no, they work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's a big problem, and it's a big discrepancy. Mm-hmm. So we are working, we're trying to say, hey, get all the players in the same meeting. We have a lot of legislators who are on our side. We're working with them and the governor's office. We've had a meeting with the governor's staff and trying to get everybody in the meeting in the room at the same time to say, hey, the feds recognize and they built this program They say it's a 48-hour work week. Can you adopt 48-hour work week as opposed to 196 or whatever it is they're saying they're working now? So it's we're kind of in a different place with that, but now frozen because of COVID. No one's having any meetings. No one's everybody's focused on COVID, and so we've been at a standstill for a few months. There is an economic, the governor put together the state of California. It's not economic advisory committee, headed by Tom Steyer, co-chaired by Tom Steyer, who by, for the record, is does have a ranch, does use sheep and goats as grazing, and along with cows on his on their ranch. Very much very aware of the benefits of grazing, has used the tool himself. We're hoping we can get a visit with Tom Steyer and at least get our message taken to that economic advisory committee, and maybe there's an avenue there to make an administrative change. We're trying anything we can, Roger. But like I said, we're going to go out trying before 2022 because it's going to be bad if something doesn't change. So,
well, my hope is that if you had 800-900 years of history in the sheep business, there'll be another 800-900 years. I mean, just right. When you, like you said earlier in the conversation, sometimes when it seems bleak, there's people that have some common sense. And I do think that people are reevaluating how important it is to take care of the environment and be concerned about food security, too, where their food's coming from, how it's grown. Right. And there has to be some different ways to look at it. For the average person listening to this, they think, my gosh, how can I help? But who knows? I mean, it's somebody here that maybe Tom Steyer is a listener. I'm always surprised at who I have listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
Really want to compliment you on what you do, what your organization, what you're doing. And people would like to know more about your program. Where do they find information about?
Again, at StarCreekLandStewards.com. Also, California Wool Growers Association website. Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.